What would it mean for one person to suffer so that others don't have to? Has there ever been a time when you've taken one for the team? The best I could think of on the spot was when I go to a funeral dinner and I take my bread from the heels of the loaf so you don't have to. You can thank me later. There've got to be more heroic examples than that, right? Like in July of 1941, when a prisoner escaped from the concentration camp at Auschwitz. And enraged, the camp commander picked 10 men to starve to death as a punishment. But when one of the 10 cried out, "But my wife and my children," another man stepped forward and offered to take his place. One man suffering so that others don't have to. Every year on September 14th, we celebrate the exaltation of the Holy Cross. But it's not every year that September 14th falls on a Sunday. And so this year, our Sunday celebration is an opportunity to consider the means of our salvation. The more common question that is asked is, why did Jesus die for us? But lately, I've been asking myself a slightly different version. Why did Jesus die on a cross for us? I mean, after all, not long before him, John the Baptist died. He was beheaded. And not long after, Christians died in the arena, torn apart by beasts. So why a cross for Jesus? Well, one could say, well, that's just what they chose. Sure, they could have beheaded him or thrown him in the arena, but at that time, the punishment for criminals was crucifixion. Enough said. But keep in mind that God ordained this plan from the beginning. That's like saying that God chose water for baptism because kids have dirty heads, or bread for the Eucharist because we're hungry on Sundays at 9 o'clock. Jesus could have saved us in any way. He chose to do it with a cross. Well, to help us understand why he did that, I want to take us back to one passage in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23, says that cursed is the one who hangs on a tree. Cursed is the one who hangs on a tree, pointing out that that person was hung on the tree because they were guilty. But what if someone who is not guilty takes their place? What if one person were to take the fall to save someone else? So when 10 men were picked at the Auschwitz concentration camp to be starved to death as a punishment for the escapee, one man came forward who had not been chosen. He heard a man crying out, "My wife, my children." And so he offered to take his place. Some accounts say that the commander asked, "What does this Polish pig want?" To which the man responded, "I am a Catholic priest, and I would like to take his place because he has a wife and children." His name was Father Maximilian Kolbe. And the man whose life was saved, Francis Gahowenek, survived Auschwitz and was present 40 years later when he became St. Maximilian Kolbe. St. Maximilian Kolbe went to his death so that this man wouldn't have to. So now we begin to understand why the cross was the most appropriate way for Jesus to die. If the man on a tree is cursed, then nothing would tell us that Christ took the curse of humanity upon himself more than Christ taking the tree upon himself. St. Maximilian the priest was following the example of Christ the priest. St. Paul would later point out that Christ saved us from the curse of sin by becoming a curse himself. If you don't believe that Christ saved you, spend some time with the cross and realize that that cross was intended for you. Now, don't get me wrong, we will still carry crosses, crosses of which we chose and crosses which were chosen for us. But it is now no longer a cross that condemns us. It is a cross that saves us.